Alright, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and this is my birthday spectacular, where we're going to talk about Thor Love and Thunder. Yeah, I know you guys wanted us to watch anime, but, like, I still am a fan of these comic books and movies and things like that, so I'm going to continue to see them until they reach a woke quotient that is above 50%, or 50%. This one actually ranked, what would you think?
I mean, I only saw two major woke moments in it.
So what would you say, about 20% or 30%?
Maybe 20, but it was a very blatant 20. Like, you knew what they were pushing when they pushed it.
Well, go ahead and explain.
I would say the LGBT stuff, like, they did have the Valkyrie being a lesbian, which
we knew that.
Can't remember if that was in the Ragnarok or not.
Yes,
I think it was.
Yeah, that's there. And, so I wasn't worried about that.
They didn't make that as pronounced as
the rock guy. Yeah. Guy
talking about when two men love one another, they go down to the lava lake and hold hands for a certain period of time,
and then they have
a rock baby. And then towards the end,
yeah, he finds
a spoiler alert, of course.
Not really.
Yeah, he said he met a special someone named Dwayne, which, in context, that's up there with gay names like Lance. Not that anyone named Lance is gay, but usually when they stereotype
gay
couple or something, usually the guy is Lance or Dwight. Or
yeah. Dwight, like Eisenhower. It's like, shit. But, alright. So, about Thor Love and Thunder. So, yeah, this is spoilers, just like with our last one. If you've seen the movie, haven't seen the movie, go watch it. If you don't plan on it, then basically, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy appeared just like we thought they would in Endgame.
Not as much as they
basically had one scene with some shooting and all that kind of stuff, and it was good to see Chris Pratt and Hemsworth kind of talk and do their little man-to-man thing. And of course, it's very much on the, well, if you don't have love in your life, you're going to be very lonely and miserable. And he said, I'd rather have love and feel shitty than to not have loved anybody. And of course, Thor goes into thinking about Jane Foster. And as we know, Jane Foster's cancer arc from the Mighty Thor comic series is used here. So, she basically, her cancer's getting worse. She's on stage 4. And basically, she decides to call to Mjolnir, the hammer, of course. And the hammer reforms in this brand new Asgard, like, theme tourist attraction, like a theme park tourist attraction thing now. And they basically have the pieces.
Guardians that they had to leave there.
Yeah, they had to leave, so they went to Earth. Yeah, they went to this.
Or the survivors.
Yeah, they went to this a little village and kind of turned it into a theme tourist attraction. But, I mean, yeah, there's some cameos. Russell Crowe plays Zeus, but we'll get into that. But basically, yeah, she finds the pieces of the hammer, and the pieces of the hammer reform back into Mjolnir, and she becomes Mighty Thor. Which, of course, even though it gives her her power, it doesn't destroy her cancer. She still has to fight with it. Meanwhile, the bad guy, Gore, you actually have to sympathize with him, because, like, he was this dude that was really faithful to his god, and his whole everything, the land dried up, his daughter died, he was the only last person that believed in the god, and he finally met the god, and he's like, where's my eternal reward? And the god laughs and said, there is no eternal reward. And
He has a sword.
We're gonna tell people what happens. It's, I mean, the people that are watching have already been warned, you know. But basically, yeah, he basically gets the sword and slays the god. He says, well, I renounce you as a god. And the sword comes to him just like the hammer comes to Thor. And he takes the sword, the necro sword is what they call it. It's a big black sword. And he just cuts the god's head off and kills
allegory
him.
Allegory much? Big black swords?
Yeah.
Sticking? No.
But they, this happens even before the film rightly starts. Like, that's...
Like
how
you
the, yeah, you don't even
if,
know
it goes straight from previews
to that
movie.
Like, we thought it was a preview for another movie. At first, DP thought it was God of War. And it was like,
it had the same.
Because Gore kind of looked in the beginning, he looked like Kratos.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to tell. And it was a good opening, but
we really should have a God of War movie.
They could do it now. I mean, if we saw how they did Ragnarok, Love and Thunder. And by the way, one of the good things is, you know, when the Guardians go away and all this shit starts to happen, like they notice that all these gods are being murdered. Basically, they decide to go meet in the city of Omnipotence. And that city, actually, for the first time in a Marvel universe that I've seen, have like every god. Like everything. Japanese gods, Egyptian gods. We saw Dionysus. If you're like one of these big guys in mythology or paganism or whatever, you're going to find a lot of gods that like you know and like...
The dumpling god.
There's a Japanese dumpling god in there, and it's got a moe face. Like, I'm not even joking. It's a moe character. Yeah. And Zeus, of course, comes down, and he is Russell Crowe. And holy shit, of course, Russell Crowe, he does a great job of Zeus. Now, here's the thing. Of course, yes, there is that scene where he strips Thor of all his... He means to strip him of his disguise, but he strips him of all his armor. And they make a big dick innuendo scene, because all the women that are surrounding Zeus, as you might expect, you know, half-naked women, they all just faint. Like, they all just... faint on command. They've never seen anything like that before. And there's a reason why that's important, because there's another thing that you didn't expect is going to happen in this movie, and I need to really, like, add some things here. But anyway, you know, they have this whole battle, and eventually Thor defeats Zeus and gets the lightning bolt from Thor. I mean, from Zeus. Because he was going to raise an army, but Zeus said no, they didn't want to raise an army. So they basically just go ahead and take the lightning bolt. And while they're fighting, I think I skipped a few things. The very first time they notice that Gore is, you know, afoot and doing horrible things, he goes into the village, he finds his way there, and they fight his shadow monsters. And he steals all the children. Now, this is very important, because this is going to sound like tokusatsu. This is very tokusatsu influenced. Matter of fact, this is the most tokusatsu I've ever seen in a Marvel film. Basically, for those of you that don't know as much as I do about tokusatsu or are familiar with tokusatsu, tokusatsu is always about a villain kidnapping or threatening a child, because it's for children. You know, and basically, you know, they always want to, like, even with Bandora in Zero Ranger, basically what she wanted to do was make children ill, make children feel lots of pain. She always wanted to do horrible things to children. Sacrifice children to Satan. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen in Zero Ranger. So, basically, that's kind of what they've done here. They took the children. And, of course, Thor could appear in front of the children and tell them that everything's all right. And it was very much like a Disney cartoon. You know how the hero's there and he's you know, there for the children. And the children's like, I want to be just like you. And you're my hero and stuff. So all these children, I mean diverse, super diverse. We're not talking about just every race. We're talking about every species of child. And, you know, one thing that they did, this is very important because it's very towards the end. I'm skipping some things, but it's towards the end. And this is how this ties into tokusatsu. And tokusatsu, the children are always part of the adventure. Don't forget about Chi Ranger, who is from, I can't remember. The one that was based on the Sentai series based on the Chinese Die Ranger. But remember, Chi Ranger, the Tiger Ranger, he was a young boy. But when he would get his powers, he would be a full-grown man.
Kind of like
somewhat like that, yes. But basically, he was always part of the story. So what they did here is they basically did the whole, we'll give you the power of Thor. So all these children, and I mean, they had Taika Waititi's kids, they had Chris Hemsworth's kids, basically all the kids from the crew. They basically all got to be superheroes, and they showed them destroying the evil with their lightning power and everything like that. And that's very tokusatsu. It's very toku to have the children be part of the story, have part of the adventure. And I don't know if Taika Waititi might have been a toku fan. It's very possible. But that's what that seems like they tried to do with this one. And it's very Disney. It's also very Disney. You and I can think about all the cartoons that would have the kids, you know, where the heroes would help the kids, the Ninja Turtles would help the kids. It was always something like that where children were involved in the story.
Empowered.
And that's not something we've seen in Marvel movies. I don't think to this date we've ever seen anything where the children are directly involved in the story. I mean, there's scenes where we have kids appear, but it's a very serious sense. Like, that's my son. This is my daughter. I'll miss you. Don't go. But this is like, hey, kids, you can be heroes too, like us. And that's very, very, very old school. Some would say old school Marvel. Well, old school cartoon style.
Back in the day, I think it was, some people would say that's dangerous because it puts kids thinking they can get out of dangerous situations,
put themselves
in dangerous situations and come out victorious.
But one interesting thing that I noticed in the movie is that when they were saying, you're all Asgardians, and he said, well, I'm not Asgardian, I'm this, and the other one's like, that, I'm this, I'm that, and that, and this. The kids were all noticing their individuality. And he was like, well, today you're all Asgardians.
It makes me think of the sketch Key and Peele did where the basketball player won the NBA playoffs. He's like, I know I can fly. He's like, no, you feel like you can fly? No, kids, listen to me. If you believe and truly believe, go to the top of your roof or your house and jump off. You can fly.
Right.
And then it cuts to like a week later. I want to apologize for all the deaths that have happened in the community this past week. And I realize that you cannot fly.
But this is something that's very common with toku, though. That's what I'm saying. Very common with toku is that the Japanese children would go and I don't know how Western children take it, but, you know, usually kids that grow up with this, with these heroes that, you know, maybe they don't think they're going to be, like, power superhero. I mean, we have the Chunibyu types, but what I'm talking about is we've got kids that are like, okay, I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to do what Thor would do as far as my tests and my studying, my schooling, things like that. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to show, like, that's one thing that Toku
Thor's
did.
Thor's not the role model.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying that kids look up to him. And you got to understand, the versions of the heroes that the kids look up to are different from the versions in the MCU. Like, they have G-rated, toned-down cartoon versions of Thor and all these different characters, America.
They do have the Spidey, where it's like a kid's show, and it has, what is it, Gwen Stacy, Spider-Man, Spider-Woman.
But kids know these characters, so of course it was marketed to kids. Now, one thing that you're going to ask me is, Grimm, you just said that there's a scene in the film with a bunch of nude women, not nude, but very scantily clad women. And
which part was that?
The girls, the women that were surrounding Zeus.
I wouldn't call it that.
I mean, they were.
I've seen less clothes in some children's movies.
Yeah, okay.
That wasn't even close
okay,
to a
that,
bikini.
That was, okay, that wasn't, all right. So maybe not that, but what I am saying is all these beautiful women alluded to, I mean, there was a a dick insinuation there.
Like
and
I said, they didn't show a dick.
They didn't show it. They did show his bare ass.
Like
you've seen that on
the
internet.
Like if someone took the kid, it could be easily explained.
It
could
be easily explained.
That's because he is naked and they didn't want to look at a naked
that's
man.
Very, yeah, that's yeah. very true. So, I mean, there's a way to get out of that. I don't think it's... but so maybe... it's just a little weird to kind of mix something that has more of an adult nature.
I think I watched Terminator 2 when I was 9.
Right. Adult nature with... something that's geared towards children. Like, definitely geared towards children. Like, they weren't even beating around the bush about that. It's like, I mean, it almost became the Disney Saturday afternoon. Like, I mean, come on now. That's what it felt like. Except for the fact that Gore, a lot of people feel he was misused because he's supposed to be a real badass, horrible villain. And they did do, Christian Bale did a very good job.
And horrible.
But... a lot of people said that the movie was full of jokes and humor and stuff, and he's just not that kind of villain. And, he's a more serious villain. And I will say, there was a serious plot. When they show Eternity, they literally ripped Eternity out of the comic book. Anybody that's read the Infinity Gauntlet and seen what the different gods look like, yes, that's Infinity. I was really surprised. I pointed at the fucking screen. I'm like, holy shit, they ripped it right from the comic book. So they did rip a lot of these. There's a statue of the Watcher in the area where Eternity is summoned. There's a couple other gods you may recognize, the big gods. Of course, one above all is not mentioned, but one above all may never get mentioned in the MCU.
You know what I was... because the first thing I thought about cancer... is why didn't Deadpool cameo in this? Because basically that was the same.
But there may
part
have been
starter story.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, yeah, they deal with the cancer. We just got to be straight up. They deal with the cancer. They deal with the cancer in a very, very serious. And now you're like, okay, Grimm. So now you're talking about the gods and the scene with the nudity, and then you're talking about the children, and now you're talking about cancer. Yeah, they stuffed a lot into this movie. So the cancer thing is taken very, very seriously. She doesn't survive the cancer. And that's very important to note. She doesn't survive the cancer. That's important to note because some people go on and they're, oh, maybe she'll win. And no, she doesn't survive that cancer. And it's important. It's an important thing because...
you need to pay spoiler alert on this video.
Yeah, people know.
Well, some people don't.
Yeah, people know. I mean, people that will go on here will know. I mean, we always will do that. But no, like I said, she dies, and it's important to know because, yes, cancer does win, unfortunately. And they did everything they could. It was very aggressive. She got to be Thor. She got Mighty Thor. She called out her name as Mighty Thor. She did a very good job as Mighty Thor. Now, one thing that people are trying to say, I don't know if it's on the internet, but they're trying to say that she's, like, trying to be all, like, big and macho. I don't think so. I think they take her role very seriously as his consort. Like, she acts like a partner, but she still acts like a partner. She doesn't act like she's better than him.
Yeah.
She acts like, I mean...
They played it off as the awkwardness of hanging around your ex.
Yes.
And still being in love.
Yes. That's what they did. So there's a lot of romance in it, actually. Straight romance, which I think some of you are like, what? Disney? Straight romance? Really? Yeah. Surprised me, too. But, yeah, they did that while they were talking about gay
all
things.
Of their
while they were talking about... why they were talking about gay things. Because the two others were... I mean, they had two gay characters in the area, and then they had the straight romance going on outside, which is really weird.
Well, I don't know how it'll affect this because people everywhere are deleting their Disney Plus accounts.
Because Loki, Loki's going to be the gayest thing ever. They've announced that.
Lightyear, I heard, did terrible
because
of just them blatantly putting LGBT. Like, I'm with the people with parents or with kids that, like, stop trying to force your agenda on everyone.
That's another thing, though.
And then you really want to watch why are they forcing their agenda. I've heard rumor.
Oh, yeah, I know. Control. Yeah, I know. but what I'm saying here is, okay, so now we got to add this one to the mix. So we've got the naked scene, the kids, the cancer, and the LGBT push, which you're like, hold on. So they want kids to watch this movie, but they're legitimately pushing the LGBT. They do with the gay stuff. Now, I mean, yes, we do know gay people exist.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. And to be absolutely fair, they're not super pushing it. It's there, but they're not super. Like, it's not just directly. Like, I haven't met anybody that's like, oh, I'm bi. Like, there was one thing you may have noticed from that one Disney cartoon where the robot was talking about, oh, well, maybe you're not a girl. Maybe you're a boy. Maybe you're, like, that's actual shit, dude. But that's not what we got from Thor. We didn't get any. So if you were kind of freaked out by that shit, it's not in Thor. So you don't have to worry about that.
Which robot was it?
It's a cartoon of footage that leaked, and it hasn't come showed. It hasn't come out yet. Premiered.
Okay.
But now, it is very on the nose. I don't even think. I mean, some people would say, "Oh, you're just no." That was. I listened to it, dude.
Now,
that whole scene was pretty bad.
What is that from Big Hero 6?
Yeah, that one.
That one.
That's a series based on Big Hero 6.
Very woke.
That series based on Big Hero 6. I don't know about Big Hero 6 itself, but Big Hero 6, that series, that cartoon.
I told you 5 seconds ago what the name was, and now it's left me.
Stupidly woke.
Whatever the robot's name
was. It's stupidly woke.
Yeah.
And
I saw was of him trying to go buy tampons.
Oh, well, no, it's worse. It's all worse than that.
Well,
they were trying to say, well, maybe you're a boy. Well, maybe you're a girl. Have you ever thought about being... Like, that's the kind of shit that scares me, because that can awfully confuse children.
Oh, yeah.
That can awfully confuse children. Like, you wouldn't want your nieces watching that, because you're like, oh, my God. Because they're very, very impressionable. Children are so impressionable.
Well, that's what their goal is to impressionate. Now, I'm sure they want to even out the playing field between straight people and, I guess, people that want to cut their cocks off and or add a cock, turn their vagina inside out, whatever.
We don't support that furry.
I don't support forcing it on
We don't
anybody.
Support that furry either, you just saw. It's just there. I didn't make the game. I'm just playing it.
Oh, well, I didn't see it.
There was a furry.
Yep.
I mean, you might see it when I walk back through. Hold on. Oh, nope. I'm probably going to leave out the door. Yeah. Nope. Hold on. Nope. What am I going to... If I go see it again, no. Oh, we'll see it. I'll show you. But yeah, the movie. I mean, it's got lots of humor. It's really funny. I thought the jokes were funny. Critics were saying it wasn't that funny, but I thought it was pretty funny. I thought a lot of jokes were funny, and they mix comedy and serious shit together very well. Because there was a lot of serious shit in the movie. People didn't think it would be... I didn't think it was going to be that serious until it got serious. And then I'm like, oh, shit. So I enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I would. Plus, the soundtrack had a lot of rock. I mean, Guns N' Roses
classic.
And Dio. Dio plays at the end of the thing. They play Rainbow in the Dark. And then what was that one thing that made you cringe? When Mighty Thor picked up her hammer and they said something about the shadow world being colorless. And she said, let's put some rainbow.
Let's bring on the rainbow.
Well, yeah, we know what that means. Yeah, we know what that meant.
Could have been the Rainbow Road.
Could have been the Rainbow Road, absolutely.
Rainbow Road, even.
Well, we're not talking about the Rainbow Road like Mario. Yeah. Because there was that Hard Times article that was like Hard Drive article is like Rainbow Road switches to regular road after Pride Day.
Why couldn't they have made Oscar Mayer Wieners their flag or something? They take a rainbow, which
I don't know.
Is something. Now you don't. People
but
that are straight
altogether,
don't want to be associated with a rainbow.
Altogether, it was a fairly decent. I give the 7 out of 10. I definitely feel the 7 out of 10 is correct. It's not as good as Far From Home. It's not as good for... Or No Way Home.
I will say...
It's not as good as No Way Home, and it's not as good as Multiverse of Madness.
I think it goes well with Ragnarok.
Yeah.
The first two
I like
movies,
it better
I
than
wasn't
Ragnarok.
As big
Yeah.
On, but Ragnarok and this one I do like.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah, I liked them. Especially the Guardians from the Galaxy stuff they did show.
Oh yeah.
Which was good. You get to see kind of what's going to happen in third. Yeah. And of course there's some good after stuff. You know, they're going to bring a familiar character back into it that and they made him look just like the comics, so I'm really glad to see that. And, you know, they do have a cameo at the very end. It's very short, and it's a actor that's trying to be... they're trying to make him James Bond so bad it's ridiculous. So, I'll just say Idris Elba. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he's in it. And it surprised me, pretty much, because he wasn't in any part of the movie other than that. And there's also somebody else that was in the movie that they cut out completely. I think it was Jeff Goldblum.
But he was from a different...
Yeah, but they cut him out. I think there was
going to be...
Well, I forgot. There was some other actor that they cut completely out. And they said that his scenes would be available in the deleted scenes. Yeah, deleted scenes. So, it's okay. I mean, the Multiverse of Madness comes out next week. Oh, yeah. So you can watch that one, and that's actually a much... What?
Blu-ray.
Yeah, Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's already it's out, actually, Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. And this one, I mean, it's more lighthearted, but then again, it's not... Well, I mean, it's lighthearted in the fact Baymax. That it deals with children.
That was...
Because, you know, obviously, Multiverse of Madness... Multiverse of Madness did have a young character, but this is literally like, kids, here's your power, fight evil. And that reminds me so much of old Power Rangers and so much of the tokusatsu that I've been watching. Where the children are always... No, not teenagers.
Well,
where the children Power are always... Well, yeah, but we're talking children. Tokusatsu was not aimed at teenagers. In fact, teenage heroes didn't really play much of a role in Toku. Not for a while. They came in later. Early Toku was more older, slightly older. And, of course, they would be around more like guardians. Like, you know, like you could have somebody watch your kids that they would look up to.
Three Ninjas is probably a good example of that.
Maybe.
Where the kids had their grandpa to watch over them, and then the grandpa got hurt or kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then they had to go.
Because there was one kid that they, you know, were around a lot and everything. And I'm just talking about Gold Ranger. So, you know, that's way back to 1970s. Completely different time. You know, what we're talking about now, no. But, yeah, it's a good movie. You might enjoy it. It's long. I do like the part where it goes all black and white. And there's a lot of fucking tentacles. My God, there's a lot of tentacle bondage shit going on. That's one thing tentacles are always, always innuendo for that. I mean, even in Stranger Things, because they did that shit in Stranger Things with Lord Vecna, and Lord Vecna was supposed to be a knockoff of Hellraiser. They admitted that the tentacles and stuff was supposed to be Hellraiser. Hellraiser was inspired by the BDSM scene that Clive Barker himself was a part of.
Yeah.
The gay bondage scene. So, yes, that was all influenced by...
Hey, get your zapper. On the other side of the
What
left.
Is that?
Something you need to kill.
Is it bad?
Yeah.
What is it?
What do you...
I don't know what that is.
Well. You got it. Zap it again.
Sorry, guys. I had to kill that. What was it?
Some kind of big-ass bug.
I don't like it.
Not a fan of it.
Sorry, guys. That happens. We live in the country.
We'll put a violence prompt on the video. That
bugs were... We had to kill a bug in the middle of this. All right, guys. So... I guess that's going to be it for this one. But yeah, I've had a great birthday. I'm inching up into 40. not crazy about that. But we'll be back with some articles and stuff. But yeah, go see Thor, Love and Thunder. I won't spoil the whole ending. But go ahead and see it, and if you're into that. If not, you know, there's anime or tokusatsu or all that kind of stuff you can watch. There's a lot of stuff you can watch. At any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I'll be out, and I'll see you guys later.